Meeting is now being recorded.
Hey, yeah, so maybe just to clarify, yeah, the NCAC policy comments, we start, soon, and, the call for cross-committee working party on human rights just ended a few minutes ago, so I think there was some confusion, about timing, but I think, yeah, the right time are in the invitation. So anyway, you, for those who missed the call, you can listen to the recording that will be shared later on. And I think it's good to start our call, and other will join us shortly. Mariam, can you please start the recording? And also the roll call.
Sure, Rafiq. Thank you, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG monthly policy call on Friday, 21st of September, 2018 at 1400 UTC. On the call today, we have Asin Tungali, Austin Rookshaw, GZ Kabir, Yoff Helsingers, Nils Tien Oeva, Olga Kiriluk, Rafiq Damat, Robin Gross, Sam LaFranco, Stephanie Perrin, and from staff we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rafiq.
Thanks, Mariam, and thanks for everyone for joining us today for the NCAG policy call. Maybe as a reminder about why we have this call, it's held on a monthly basis. Usually we schedule it prior to the GNSO Council meeting in order to have an opportunity for the NCAG representative to the GNSO Council to discuss with the NCAG membership about the council agenda, but also to discuss about all policy matters and consultants. So it provide two things: is that consultation and also giving updates and briefing about what's going on. So it's. But what we try to do usually is to go through the GNSO Council agenda. There are several items there, and so some of them are for vote. So there are motion and for the NCAG Council to vote, they need to consult with the membership and to ensure that we are voting in the direction that it's carrying what the membership think is right. Okay, it seems there was some confusion about the Adobe Connect room because it was changed lately for some technical issue. So just asking you, Mariam, please resend a reminder to the mailing list and indicate clearly people should join this Adobe Connect channel. I guess many of them are just checking the invitation. Okay, so let's start with the first agenda item, which is the GNSO Council agenda. Usually the first items are administrative matters. So there is no so much to discuss about, but it can be, if you have time, you can check in particular the item 1.4, as it includes the minutes, and so you can see what was discussed in the two previous council meeting. The next item, number 2, it's also good to check, and since it's the project list, which summarizes the status of all working groups and GNSO activities, so you can get a good snapshot of what's going on. But we are not covering this now, just you can check that later, and so you have the links. What we have at item number 3 is the consent agenda, which means that unless a councillor object and want to bring it for more discussion, just we will vote without a discussion. And usually we use that for non-controversial issues, just kind of, you know, a confirmation or approval. So here we have 3 items that I don't think they are controversial, and 2 of them to be voted. So the first, the approval of the 2018 slate of members and liaison on the customer standing committee. So here the GNSO council as the GNSO council, they are just going to confirm the members of the customer standing committee as they are appointed by other, this case by the registry stakeholder group for 2 seats, while the other, it was by the council. But we have here a staggered membership. So there is no issue, just the confirmation. The next is the approval of the approach for the customer standing committee effectiveness review, and appoint Donna Austin and Philip Foucault to represent the GNSO in this review. So this is also, from my understanding, is not an issue. Donna and Philip were involved on the effort to prepare for the customer standing committee effectiveness review, and there was a discussion previously in how to avoid any overlap with the other review that is going, going to start soon, which is the IANA naming function review. Just to put a context, if maybe it's confusing here, all this is related to what we have after the IANA stewardship transition, and having now those different, like the committees, the customer standing committee, which is to monitor the performance, if I can say that, of the IANA function. So I don't think we are impacted directly. We also have people involved to some extent on those efforts, so we the council will just approve. Unless, if you are not speaking, please mute yourself.
Abomination. Abomination.
Abomination.
No problem.
I'm sorry, I'm unable to mute this person.
Okay, at least someone is having fun. We can confirm that from what we are hearing. Yes, so I don't think there is any issue with this. The last item is accepted the standing committee on budget and operation. So this is committee was created by the council to focus on the budget and ICANA planning. And so it was created on interim basis, and by itself it was asked to create a report to review its activities. And so we just received that report from the standing committee, and so here just confirming the reception. Probably this item will be discussed later with regard to the content of the report and discuss about the next steps. Next steps regarding the standing committee on budget and operation. Sorry, just Manim, is it possible to mute? I mean, it's really becoming hard.
I'm trying to do that.
Okay, thanks. Okay, we have to deal with some technical issues, but it's okay. So that was for the consent agenda. Maybe we spent more time than expected, but I think for the community to understand try to do my best to continue. I hope that you can hear me. Okay, so please, if you can hear me, just say so. Marim is trying to drop the two lines that's going through the operator, so taking some time. Disconnecting is not
the host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Yeah. them to be.
No, what does it mean that, Mike? I'm not snapping. Except because I know I apologize to you. How can you mean the people are just to give it to my daddy?
That's it. That's it. Yeah? Take no one. After they build the beach, you say you won.
No, why for you?
Tell me. I'm not chairman. Then you don't want.
Okay.
Then you want to make one back to
water. Okay.
And then you can
get the house. Okay. You need to be so easy to know.
Good day, good evening, good evening again.
Okay,
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
We made a statement previous council meeting. We are fine with the recommendation, but I think maybe Tatiana, she made the statement, she can clarify what we wanted to express, that we find it's an issue that we could, I mean, we have to accept our recommendation as they are. Okay. I think it's that this will be one of the easy vote, unless there is some surprise that we are not expecting. But anyway, so any question or comment here? Yes, Tatiana, please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me well, Rafik? Yeah, thank you. So about the vote on the approval of the CCWG accountability workstream 2 final report. I made a statement that we councillors from NCSG are going to vote for the report because it is a significant amount of work, like monsters, did by many groups and many people. But what made us unhappy and what makes me very unhappy is that in most of the cases, the groups were following the recommendations of the participants and concerns and public comments, and everything was considered properly. And so many of the recommendations, most of them, actually represent a proper, you know, consensus between different opinions, so middle ground. But some of the recommendations, like, for example, recommendations on ombudsman offices, they really do not reflect the opinions of or concerns which were expressed by us in public comments. They were just ignored, which the group could easily do. But the problem is that there is no way to reject certain recommendations. We have to vote for the entire package. And while I understand that there is no way to change this situation, I made a statement that maybe for the future, for this kind of work, where we have multiple work tracks and groups, there should be a possibility to reject some of the recommendations without rejecting the entire package. So that was my statement. So we are not going to vote against this because it's a significant amount of work, but we are very unhappy with how it has been handled in terms of either buying the entire package or not buying it at all. Thank you.
Thanks, Tatiana. We spend a lot of time working on, I mean, several of the NCNG member working, participating in the CCWG. I think also our comment already made it clear where we are supporting and so on. So it's just quite, I think, straightforward here to vote yes, to approve. But I think we got it in the record. Where are our concerns in terms of process? And this is something to have in mind. Okay. Any other question or comment from this? Okay. We made comment last time. I guess we can reiterate that. Maybe elaborate more if needed, but yeah. Okay. The next agenda item is, this is also The adoption of the final report on protection for certain Red Cross names in all GTLD policy amendment process. And this motion was deferred from last meeting by NCAG request because we wanted to clarify some points. And in fact, we had a call with the chair of the working group and the staff asking some question and indicating where we have a concerns. It's not really about the process itself, but it's more about the recommendation and in particular one. So this, in terms of the background, the work on Red Cross names, it's something that lasted for many years, and there was a recommendation before, but we get this back by the amendment process requested by the board and approved by the Genocidal Council last year. The working group, or the convenient working group, as we call it, was tasked to work on simple actions, is to add a finite list of Red Cross names to be protected, and so we got a few recommendations from the working group in that regard, but I think our concern, I hope that Farzana will elaborate more as she followed this discussion more. It's about the legal basis for this protection, and also about the process to amend to add or delete names to that list. So we had a discussion of the working group, and we try to understand more how they reached a conclusion for their recommendation. So just a reminder, the Genocidal Council, what to do in terms of PDP recommendation, it cares about the process. We avoid trying to amend the recommendation coming from the working group. As we initiate PDP and we get people involved there, is to do the bulk of the work there, to not try to do the rework at the council level. So we focus on the process, and that's why for the councillor, when we are going to vote, we have to ask questions about the process in itself. So we are trying to see here how we can vote and also maybe to state our concern. Since Ferdinand is here, maybe you want to explain more about the issues and what are the concerns and more details?
Yes, thank you, Rafik. So basically, there were a couple of things. One was the problem. Can you hear me? Is it good? So the one of the problems with the report was that they, despite the fact that they said we are not doing like a legal analysis of whether there is like a legal basis for protecting these Red Cross names, they said that they said that they have done a lot of research and it constitutes. But the document does not constitute a legal analysis, but still they kind of said that they had legal basis to rely on for the recommendations, which I find personally risky, because if it sets a precedent that reserving names and international organization names would be like something that can be argue that the law or convention or treaty said that they should be reserved at ICANN, it's going to be a dangerous precedent. But then there is a convention and there are like some legal arguments, which I don't personally think it's applicable to ICANN, but you know, they argue this, and I think they explained that to us in the meeting that we had with them. And they tried to we made another point, which was about the PDP. So the recommendation says that without having to go through a PDP, if you want to add, which is very important, if you want to add to this finished list without going through a PDP, you can just, considering like the following criteria, you can just tell the Genocide Council and some other AC and SO, and then you can just be added. Now it's a whole elaborate process. It's very detailed. I think their explanation that the countries, you have to have a country to be born and have a Red Cross to be able to add to this list was okay. However, again, process-wise, it's a bad precedent to say, okay, this is a finished list, and then say, if you want to add to this finished list, or if you want to also delete from it, or if you want to change it, you don't have to go through a PDP. It's fundamentally against the multi-stakeholder process, in my opinion. But this is a very, like, a small aspect of it, which when we raised this, they also took this into account. And Mary is the staff in charge of the press group. She provided the redlining and some additions to it to make sure that this exceptional treatment under really narrow circumstances that they don't go through a PDP to add to it. I don't like it, but I can't die in a ditch for this. So there is another thing that there was another point I wanted to make, which I cannot remember anymore. So So under finished list is quite humorous. So they say, oh, there are only 91 names, based on record. But there's under these 191 organizations or names, you see at least 5 or 6 translation and transliteration of these names. So really, the list is not 191. It's around, probably 500 or so. And that's it. Thank you, Rebbe.
Thanks. Thanks for listing the concerns. They are in terms of substance. And just I wanted to highlight that we are suggesting some question, in fact, under that agenda item. We are trying to answer them as a council. It's not just really about this process, but other PDP. And so we are asking 3 questions. Does the council believe that the PDP has addressed the issues that it was chartered to address? Has the PDP followed due process? Did the PDP working group address GAC advice on the topic? So this is just to give us guidance in term to make a decision. But really, it's just, I think, what we had at the council leadership level is really all this started with the GAC advice with regard to the previous recommendation. So how we are dealing with that process and see how the working group responds to that. back to the NCSG position. I think we will vote yes, because in terms of process, I don't think there is an issue. But again, as it was discussed in the chat, it's good to make a statement, have that in record to explain our reason. So the deferral was useful for us at the end to give us that time to really make our mind instead of just voting last time against and so on. And yes, we have to discuss about Red Cross. I'm not sure. Tatiana, you were in the queue, or that was an old hand? Okay, I assume that's an old hand. Okay, so I think that's...
Hi, Rashid. Yes, I was in the queue, but...
Okay. Okay, so... Yes, so I think we have clarity on what we should do here, and Farzana mentioned about the document shared by Mary. So I think we can also share them in the NCSG list for information. Okay. We are done with this agenda item. I think we can go to the next one. And it's not voting, we will go to discussion matter, which is an update on new GTLD auction proceed cross-community working group. And we put it here because the understanding is that the cross-community working group for the auction proceeds is working on its initial report, and it's going to deliver it soon. So the purpose is to hear the update from the chair, the co-chair from the GNSO to this cross-community working to get sense of what's going on there, because I don't think we get any update for some time now. So I know that we have a few people involved in that working group, so maybe if they want to share anything or any matter that we should be aware beforehand, but anyway, it will be an update, so we will see maybe an idea about the content of the initial report. Okay, any question or comment here? I don't see any. I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but we have I think Yuv, but he's not here now, and also Tiffany, but she's not following closely what's going on that lately. So yeah, so if Tatu, if or anyone involved and has any update that can be shared, it's a good time to do so. Otherwise, we will move to the next agenda item.
This is Kathy.
Yes, Kathy.
Sorry, I'm coming in late. I've had great difficulty trying to connect to the call, and I appreciate Miriam continuing to dial out to me. Have you talked about rights protection mechanisms, and do you need an update?
Hi, Kathy. We are still at Council agenda 11, so we didn't cover, or we are not covering our PM yet. That's usually for the next part of the meeting, so.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. And sorry for the technical problem. It seems that we had several for today. Okay. So, since Yulf is back, Yulf, you were asking about we have the auction proceeds item in the council agenda, and so asking if there is any update we should get for now.
Sure, I can try. I mean, it has been progressing very, very slowly. There is now a soft draft recommendation out, and I was actually going to forward it today for comment. At this point, all they're doing is they're looking at sort of four different methods and trying to get some priority between them. There's still nothing more in-depth than that, so I don't think there's anything we would have a strong position about at this point, but I will definitely circulate the current draft.
Thanks, Yulf. So let's say it's coming soon to, the initial report coming soon, and we will have to comment on that. Okay. Any other question or comment, or you want maybe to ask Yulf anything? Okay, I see none. Go to, the most exciting agenda item, which is the council update on the temporary specification for registration, data expedite policy development process, or the call it EPDP. So I am supposed to give an update here at the General Council liaison to the EPDP. I think we can use this more as an, even if we have the second part of the call to discuss what policy update, we can use this to get a briefing about what's going on the EPDP side. So for the council, just I am supposed to give an update. But it's already going to some extent by the weekly report. I expect more questions and concerns since I think we are in the level of possibly not meeting the deadlines. We have the face-to-face meeting next week, and there are a lot of expectations that we can reach some level that give us chance to deliver something by Barcelona meeting. But I think this is at this stage quite unclear, and we will see what will happen. I cannot speak more about the EPDP from my perspective. Am I involved in that working group is as liaison, and so not participating on the substance per se. But I will leave that to our NCAG representative. So we have in the call Farzana, Stephanie, Amr, Yulf, and I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. And also we have Colin and Tatiana are as alternate. And I see Amar is in the queue. Amar, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq, and thanks, everybody. Just a quick sort of snapshot of where we are and what we're supposed to be doing. So the EPDP... has held, 15 calls to date. The first deliverable that the working group was, or the EPDP team, because it's technically not a GNSO working group. The first deliverable we were supposed to send back to the GNSO Council has been sent, which is a triage report of the different provisions in the temporary specification on GTLD registration data. And this triage report was meant to indicate the levels of consensus amongst the different participating ICANN, SOs, ACs, stakeholder groups, and constituencies to each of those provisions. So that's done. That's been sent to the GNSO Council. Next, we're supposed to be finalizing an initial report, I think, before the Barcelona meeting. And there's meant to be a public comment on that report. I think the EPDP team, you know, Rafiq kind of touched upon the issue of whether the team will be able to deliver on time or not. I don't think he is alone in that concern. I think everybody pretty much shares that concern. Right now, the EPDP team is extremely divided. There's a lot of divergence there, not just on the substance of the policy issues, but also on how to go about dealing with them. We have a charter. There's a bunch of charter questions in there. Some of them are gating questions to others. So the gating questions are basically a number of questions in the charter that have been identified by the GNSO Council to require answers being provided before moving on to other questions. And those are basically to identify the purposes of processing GTLD registration data, as well as sort of identifying the different processing activities and sort of associating those with the purposes for collecting and using this data, and as well as eventually disclosing them to, or possibly disclosing them to third parties. The way the EPDP has been going about its business so far, for the most part, is attempting to redline the actual language in the temporary specification. So the temporary specification is sort of is meant to be a sort of, I guess, I don't know what you would call it, an appendix or an addendum to the agreement ICANN has with its contracted parties, accredited registrars and GTLD registry operators. But we've been having a really hard time going through this exercise. And NCSG members of the EPDP team, as well as other groups represented, have been sort of pushing for an attempt to sort of, you know, abandon the whole exercise of redlining the temp spec, which is proving to be too difficult, and focusing on the policy questions in the charter and providing answers to those. And especially, you know, starting off with the gating questions that I mentioned earlier. Other groups, on the other hand, are, well, I don't know what their preferences are in terms of redlining the language of the temp spec versus answering the charter questions, but they obviously have a very highly vested interest in third-party access to registration data and how this is going to be done. And they've been trying to bake that into every discussion the EPDP team has been having to date. And this is becoming a real issue in terms of the EPDP team using its time both on list and during calls wisely and getting its work done. So I think this is probably the main challenge we've been facing. And other members of the EPDP team on this call today can weigh in as well. I think the face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles next week is going to be really a last-ditch attempt for the EPDP team to get its work done before the deadline by the Barcelona meeting in October. So if progress can be made there, that would be great. I think our team, our representatives on the team, the non-commercial stakeholder group representatives, should probably band together with like-minded folks on the team, probably those in the contracted parties, as well as the internet service providers and connectivity providers, constituent team, the commercial stakeholder group. I think largely we're well-aligned, not just in terms of, you know, substance and policy. I think we're, to a very large extent, on the same page on that front. But more importantly, we are also, I think, on the same page in terms of what needs to be done for the EPDP team to get to where it needs to go. So if those groups can sort of band together and try to steer the team's work in a more productive direction, I think that would be great. And we are trying to do that at this point in time. Apart from that, I don't think we need to get into the real nitty-gritty policy issues. But if you do have any questions, I'd be happy to answer, as I'm sure other members of the team would be. And if anybody else would like to add to my brief summary, then please go ahead and I give you the floor. Thanks.
Thanks, Samuel, for this briefing from an NCAG standpoint. Okay. So any question or comment? This is a good opportunity to do so. And I think probably we'll have more by next week after the face-to-face meeting. So, okay. Yes, Stephanie, go ahead.
Hi, Stephanie Perrin for the record. I hope you can hear me. I just want to raise my rather deep concerns that we are being played here on the CPDP, just like we were played on the RDS working group. And whether this is an explicit plan or it is a plan of certain stakeholder groups, I think is immaterial. A lot of us, or some of us, spent 2 years on the RDS working group getting absolutely nowhere with ridiculous interventions that slowed us down, not being cut off. And we wound up with no policy. What we wound up with was a unilaterally negotiated, and that's between the board and a stakeholder group, namely the contracted parties, temporary spec, in which we, as the representative of the registrants, had no say. We weren't consulted. We weren't allowed to, you know, participate. It just happened. Now we have, on a very short timeline, an operation to either fix that as a policy or let it drop, in which case we are back in the unfortunate world where we have no policy and the contracted parties figure out themselves how they're going to comply with GDPR with respect to registrant data. And we've been going in circles for 15 meetings. Again, because the chair is not sticking to the, in my view, and I'm being pretty blunt here, as you might have noticed, because the chair is not sticking to the charter and cutting off side conversations. And he has openly said, if you have concerns, contact me directly. So a lot of the discussion is going on back channels with the chair. It is not happening on the working group. Now, that may prevent all-out war, but it is not a multi-stakeholder process. It's a lobbying process. Let's be clear. In the meantime, the intellectual property constituency continues to send ICANN.org its version of the UAM, and they recently sent a letter which was ventilated on the list. Darcy Southwell said, what the heck are you guys doing? Are you not playing in good faith, she pretty much said, or you're not playing in good faith on the EPDP. And, of course, we now have a sort of usual impudent answer from the IPC saying, hey, you guys started it with the temp spec. Now, from our perspective, I don't think either of these guys care fundamentally whether the non-commercial parties participate. So let's not assume that we have friends here that care whether that multi-stakeholder process works. Each party wants to negotiate and lobby can. And the IPC, of course, have the GAC on their side. The registrars have, frankly, the law and the fines on their side. So if ICANN doesn't belly up to the bar and admit it's a controller and that it faces the same liability, the registrars will just have to take their own action. So that's my analysis of what's happening, and I'm getting pretty tired of it because we're all, we've got nine people spending an awful lot of time, maybe not the 30 hours a week I predicted, although I'm certainly putting in 30, and I'm still getting nowhere. I'm still not able to keep up. But this is just starting to be a farce. Now, many internet governance scholars have written about this, saying ICANN's a farce. I hate to have them proven true. I want this to work. It's important to civil society that this organization works. So giving up and saying, hey, it doesn't work, is not a good option for us. But I think we should be pretty clear-eyed about what the heck's going on. Thanks.
Any other comment or question? Okay. Yes, Amar, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Rafiq. This is Amar again. Just to sort of highlight again this one thing that Stephanie mentioned that I had forgotten to mention was that there was a letter sent from the intellectual property constituency and the business constituency, a joint letter between them to ICANN, asking ICANN to set up its own unified access model to allow third parties to access registration data, because right now they can't do that. Right now the temporary specification has basically required contracted parties to redact most registration data collected from registrants. So they had a couple of other requests in there as well. But I see this as extremely problematic as well. I think those two groups are probably they're two of the groups that I would personally sort of say are to a large degree responsible for the lack of progress we're making. And again, not because of disagreement on substance, but just rather of, they're not being very helpful in terms of helping the rest of the EPDP team move the deliberations forward in a logical manner. So there are things we need to agree on before we move on to the issues that are important to them, but they sort of keep, pushing their issues to the forefront in a very premature way. And now, them doing this is sort of delaying the progress on the EPDP, and now they're also reaching out to ICANN.org, asking them to sort of circumvent what we're doing within the GNSO process, and to get something done to their liking through negotiations or through a request to ICANN.org itself. And this is a big problem as well. Unfortunately, I don't see a lot of, I've heard a lot of people informally express, outrage and to that letter, but unfortunately there isn't as much being expressed in the formal channels, whether on the EPDP mailing list or on the GNSO council. So I would encourage our own counselors to engage in that conversation on the GNSO council list if possible, and if you feel appropriate, bring it up during the next council call, which I believe is on the 27th of September. So I just figured I'd chime in with that as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. And to follow up and build on your comments, so I think the letter issue is definitely for the council to discuss, and that was raised there. With regard all the issue hearing, so I cannot intervene here because my position. But what I can say, if people have concern or issue, they should use the existing process to raise them. And also I want, if to suggest something is really to focus, in the way how you can suggest to propose. As I can tell you that, leadership team, the working group is, keen to hear if there is any proposal, like what happened, for example, this week, when Farzana worked with Thomas, on the data matrix and they shared it. So I'm suggesting here, you leverage what you have already. Complaining or it's not going to help that much. I understand the frustration. I hear them, but you need to be effective. I don't want to patronize here, but that's the reality. We get to be effective if we want to move in this process. So, Conan, you are in the queue. Please go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to follow up on something that was happening or on the conversation that was happening in the chat and say that perhaps one thing, without being too complaining or naysaying, I completely hear where you're coming from, Rafiq, that we can, I mean, if we see tactics deployed, maybe it's better to deploy them ourselves than to call people out because it's not going to stop them from doing it, just floating that. But maybe one thing that we could hammer home, that our counselors could hammer home in the meeting is this element of transparency in making sure that the proper documentation is occurring for these kinds of back-channeling conversations that are happening. Maybe for the leadership team, it would be good to perhaps encourage Kurt to limit the amount of conversations that he has with people one-on-one. Just because when you hear them referenced during the calls, it does kind of make you have that bad faith thought in the back of your head. So maybe that's one thing that we could kind of lean on counsel to just encourage transparency and maybe limiting off-the-record conversations. Thanks.
About that one, about the one-to-one discussion, we raised that before. I understand why, I mean, the idea, the purpose, we raised the concerns before. And I think that's my understanding. I mean, it's also hard to deny or confirm anything. But my understanding, there are less and less. So, the only communication I'm aware is like the one regarding the data metrics and so on. But one approach that it's now followed is, for example, there is a call that it's open for anyone who wants to join from the EPDP, like discussing. It's kind of ad hoc call today. It will be just after this one. So there is some change in that area, but I concur with you. It can be an issue, but there is an improvement on that front, and we'll keep pushing for that. Okay, any comment or question here? Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. Stephanie Perrin for the record. I just wanted to point out that, quite frankly, I'm doing a lot more than just complaining here. As far as I'm concerned, we have been dancing around in circles for 15 weeks, not being blunt about what the hell's going on. And I think raising the issue is a sound move. And I think actually Paul's response was a fairly honest one. So in fact, we are getting down to brass tacks about what's going on. We shouldn't be naive about this. This is just to keep us all busy while the IPC negotiates something with ICANN.org. So, and in terms of doing something productive, yes, I think Farzi was saying we need a proposal. We need a model that we can put forward. That is one hell of a lot of work, just so everybody knows, because a complete who is policy has to include all of the stuff. You know, we've got a lame ass who is conflicts with law policy still going through, about to get struck as a committee. You know, there are several things that have to be pulled into a comprehensive policy. Maybe I should step down from the group and draft this thing. That would be good. But right now, we're all so busy doing this. I don't think anybody's got the bandwidth to draft this policy, assuming they know how to draft a policy like this. It's a non-trivial effort. Look at the work that Thomas put into the Eco Playbook. Just reading it is a lot of work. So, on the other hand, the standard stuff is a narrow piece of this, and that's what I'm trying to focus on because I think that's a very critical piece. And they're all ignoring me, but they're going to show up at the meeting that NCSG is hosting on Sunday afternoon. So, yes, I'm being whiny and complaining, but I'm also doing substantive work on this. Thank you.
Just to clarify, when I made my comment, I didn't mean anyone in particular. I think it's kind of the mood that can be risky to have when we are working in PDP. And it can be really, it's kind of like a feedback loop. So we have to be careful. I said I understand the frustration, I understand the concerns, but I'm also a practical person here. Think you have a problem or an issue, you have to solve it and think what can be done in terms of action. So, we identified several issues. I suggested if you have a concern about the leadership, how the work is done and so on, just use existing leverage. You can report to the liaison. You can even go to the council leadership if you want. You can raise that to the council. But what I'm telling also is just to make proposal. And I think this is when I see the other, how they are dealing. They are trying to make proposal. Good or not, I have no judgment there. So I think we are doing progress. I'm just really warning about getting in the mood if to be the way that it will be self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes, this is my concern. I have also my concern about how things are going on the EPDP. But it's time for action. It's not time to predict how it will be, how we are doing or how we will fail. Because if we fail, it won't be the leadership. It won't be just the staff. It will be the whole GNSO. Not trying to to be a Cassandra here, but just this is small warning, guys. We need to get this done. With regard to the letter, yes, it's a problem, so we have to act on that and to respond. But again, this is really not in the EPDP. This is at the council level, and we have to leverage that. And I think maybe Farzana wants to elaborate more here. I saw you in the queue, Farzana. Please go ahead.
So, I just wanted to mention that, we have had how many calls, like 14 calls or something so far, and the calls are hectic. We keep coming back for obvious reason to the matter of access. We're not working on the chartering question. And the thing is that the agenda doesn't look that bad, despite the fact that I said this in the beginning that two topics is not a good idea, and then we just saw that what happens when they discuss two topics each hour on the call. But these are like organizational stuff. I'm not gonna go on bickering about this. But seriously, sometimes people bring up issues that really, really are baseless and should not be discussed on the call, but still they get the platform and they just continuously talk about access. Now, the thing that we should do is a little bit of a compromise here, because seriously, we are not going to be able to do our work with a couple of groups that are worried that we are not going, they're not going to have legal access to the personal information of domain name registrants. So a little bit of maybe we made some mistake in the beginning to just implying that, I mean, we didn't even imply, we said we are going to discuss access, but after responding to some question. But anyway, I think we have to come to a compromise. If they want to talk about their access and not about the standardization or how to have access, but the principles of it, then we can let them do that based on that, also the data elements and the matrix that Thomas and I did. We could have that in parallel, that they respond to section J questions in the charter, but that's about it. And let them just let it out about access, but also in parallel, let's do our work. So I hope that we can come up with a good work plan for next week. Meeting and but also we are working on fixing things, and we are giving a comment, and the leadership and Church is not fully, but he's nice and he listens to us from time to time.
Yeah, thanks, Fazana. I'm tempted to say that a scary word, which is strategize, please. So get just a plan and go with it. So that's what I can suggest. And it's there are several issues, and just you need some kind of divide and conquer here to focus on some. You cannot handle all in the same time. So. Anyway, that's kind of generic proposal. Any comment or question on this issue? I think there are some action to be taken and probably should be followed up later on, and to outline what can be done. So I am hearing things and different proposals. So the question is, what can be done for the letter? I see that Amar suggested that co-drafting, maybe with other interested group. For the APDP, so it's maybe for the NCAG representative to caucus here and think what can be done in terms of proposal. So anyway. Any comment or question?
Hey, Rafiq, this is Amar.
Yes.
Just to streamline this, if we do want to actually pursue a co-letter sort of between us and other groups, it might be quicker and easier for the leaderships of the different stakeholder groups and constituencies to get in touch and course at that level, and, of course, involve the EPDP the representatives on the EPDP team. But yeah, I think it would be quicker if, you know, for example, if Fadi, as a stakeholder group chair, reaches out to, you know, the registrars, the registries, possibly the internet service provider constituency as well. I just think, you know, if you have like three or four people just planning this, and then, you know, maybe leave the implementation up to others or broaden the circle and those who participate in drafting the letter, that'd be great. But, in terms of getting this done, especially if we want to get this done before the face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles, might be a good idea to just, you know, move on that quickly, if Farzi is willing.
Thanks, Hamel. You were too quick. I was also going to volunteer Farzana for this task. So as the NCAC chair, she is the person to liaise with other stakeholders in such efforts. So I think she can take that. Don't thank us, Farsi. That's good. Okay. So at this way, there is an action that should be followed up. Okay. Any comment? Further question here? I see none. I guess we can move to any other business. So under any other business, there are several items. The first is just the ICANN 63 planning. Just we will share the latest block schedule from the GNSO. Since we have the different, the session for the GNSO Council and the PDP and also the high interest topic. And also the session for stakeholder group and constituency. We have also another item, which is for the standing selection committee, which is tasked by the council to make any appointment on behalf of the council or the GNSO. And here we have two things. Is for the ATRT 3. Since there was a delay and unfortunately one representative passed away this year, we have to confirm that those who were nominated before, if they are still willing to continue, and if we have also to fill the vacancy. So there is a question if we should have a quick call for candidates and to have the selection standing selection committee to handle that. The other item is for the fellowship program. As you may know, now the supporting organization and advisory committee have the ability to appoint one representative to this fellowship selection committee. For the GNSO case, since we didn't have time, the workaround was to have the GNSO chair as interim representative to the selection committee while we are going to work on the process to nominate the representative from the GNSO. It should not be from the council, but from the GNSO. So maybe there will be call for candidates and so on. I have no idea how it will work, but this is something to be tasked for the standing selection committee. The last item, which is the next step for the IGO and GEO Collective Rights Protection Mechanism PDP, which has to some extent similar problem with the Red Cross. And the issue here is that the recommendation are definitely not aligned with the GAG advice. So it's a matter for the council here to decide how to deal if we approve or not the recommendation. So we'll discuss a different path. And we are delaying the decision here since we don't have a clear path how we will deal with the recommendation. It's quite unusual, but because we know even that what the GAG think and the interest of the board, that's why we are trying to see what we can do. Okay, so I know that I went quickly through those items, but if there is any question or comments, please do so. Hey, I see none. And move back to the NCAG main agenda. Can you please go change the document? Okay, so this part is, as usual, is the policy update. The first is to maybe a reminder or giving status update regarding the public comments, and then we go to the policy topics to get any update from working group, review teams, and so on. So, with regard to the public comments, what we have in the pipeline, and it's quite urgent, it's the new GGAD subsequent procedure, initial report. Bruna and Elsa worked on the draft, and it was shared this week in NCSG list for review. The deadline for submission is the 26th, so I urge everyone to review the comments. So we need to resolve the edits and to have a clean version. And just also to highlight that Kathy and Robin helped also Bruna and Elsa for the drafting. And we had, I think it was in August, we had the webinar on the interest on that report for NCAG. So, yeah, that's the one we have in pipeline. Unfortunately, there are so many in the same time, and we are not getting, I think, for lately enough volunteers to understand the difficulty. So what we get else is there is two in relation to RDS. One is the proposed GTLD registration data access protocol. We got the volunteers working on that one. Hope that we get draft soon by next week for review. Other one is the RDS review team draft report recommendation. We get only one volunteer, but we need more. I think it's also kind of substantive one. I note that Tiffany was in the review team, and hopefully she can help those who will volunteer, but we need to cover that one quite soon. The other comment, it's the next steps on reviews. We get a volunteer, but it's still also open for anyone who wants to join. And this is also quite a deadline. It's the 5th October, so we have a few days. And the concern here is that we were had before we had before the paper regarding the reviews and the change in the timeline. And now the staff is asking again about the path to take. So we have to cover this because the impact on how the ICANN specific reviews like RDS, the SSR, and consumer and competition review team, all this that we need to be careful in how the scope is set, and also the accountability and transparency review team, and also the organizational review. So there are possible changes coming on. And also the staff will publish soon the standard operating procedures for how the whole process for the review will be handled. So we need to really monitor all this and comment. Okay. So please, if you want to volunteer or join the work, please do so. And okay. Yes, any question, comment? And just for reminder, I'm sharing the link to where we have the status of our comments and volunteers, so you can join other drafter so to be effective. Okay. Question? No comment. Okay. So that's what we have for the public comment. And again, public comments are just a part or milestone for PDP. So we need more people get involved in the working group from the beginning, so to influence the whole discussion and the process, not just waiting for a public comment. We still need, as a stakeholder group, to put to give input, but it's more also more effective to be involved in the working group. Yes, Farzana, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Rafik. I just wanted to ask our distinguished members to respond to my email about the board questions. I have started collecting a couple of suggestions for questions, but I'm not receiving any response on that. As things unfold until it is end of September. I have to submit on 3rd of October. So, I have come up with some questions, and I think they are pretty good. But if you want to be more consultative, then you should weigh in. One of the questions that I have is about the reviews and the whole the board decision to. Say that, oh, there was no consensus on this public comment, so they reopened the issue. And then on the other hand, they reopened the issue and they said you should comment again, they asked the community to comment again. And then they again reopened issues from when GATS wants an issue to be opened, then we have to build another PDP, like Red Cross and similar stuff like that. And well, that's fine, but then also board said, what is this problem with PDPs that are not efficient and effective? I mean, of course, we are not going to have so much time when you keep reopening issues and saying that there was no consensus in the comment, that there was clearly consensus. So I would like to, of course, in a more diplomatic way and nicer way, I would like to flag this issue to the board that, yes, we should talk about effective PDPs, but we should also talk about how board decides to ask the community again to do a certain task. Thanks. And then also, like, there are a couple of other questions, but anyway, I do suggest that you go on that thread that I started and let me know what sort of questions are appropriate. Probably we are going to talk about the access model and what the board is going to do, but I don't think we are going to get any answer that they're still going to say they're not going to come up with an access model that will be adopted without the community consultation and this is just what they are doing is just guidelines. So I think I know the answer to that, but if you have any other creative questions from the board that you think you can get an answer from them, then great, just raise it on the mailing list.
Thanks, Farzana. Sorry, I checked the question proposed. I think maybe we can reframe them, because if it's too specific, I'm not sure what kind of response we will get and how we can steer a discussion or dialogue with the board. But yeah, we can improve that. And yes, we should try to bring with more questions. I think maybe something that happened in San Juan, it happened in fact at the board and the council meeting. There was a kind of the issue is that we have this. I think the format is wrong because they are asking us question, we are asking them a question. They are not creating kind of any dialogue or real discussion here. It's just like it's too prepared. And even the question from the board, like, what are your priorities? It has a feeling of déjà vu. Also, I am more worried about the other question when they talk about the multi-stakeholder model and the workload and effectiveness and so on. Because I think it's really kind of coming from the budget perspective and cost that it's now steering almost everything in ICANN when we have any discussion with the ICANN org. I'm thinking if really how we can improve that meeting and to have real discussion that it's useful. It's not just a set of questions they will prepare for them. And sometimes they kind of get some board members get concerned about some of them. So let's think. Let's figure out how we can do better. Yep. Okay. That said, regarding any policy topics, I think we covered the EPDP to some extent. There are other working groups, so if we can get an update, I think we covered to also because the public comment, the subsequent procedure, new city subsequent procedure, but we have the work track 5 there. So, Robin already jumping in. Yes, Robin, please go ahead.
Thanks. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, can hear you.
Okay, terrific. Let me just do sort of an update on the entire new GTLD subsequent procedures working group because there's a little bit more going on right now than just work track 5. So as got earlier in this call, we've got the public comment going on right now with respect to the initial report for work tracks 1 through 4. In addition to that, there are a couple of issues that have been flagged as issues that we also need to clear up and have some discussion on before we can go forward. And so those are going to be dealt with in the next few weeks. And those issues are the public auctions, the private auctions, the role of public comment, and amendments to applications. So these are the issues that we're going to be discussing in the next few weeks, and then a report will be issued probably in about a month from now, sort of like a little bit, I guess it's going to be called a supplemental report to what we discussed earlier in our call for work tracks 1 through 4, the initial report. This will be sort of supplemental to that with these additional issues. And then there's also work track 5, which is dealing with the geographic names issue. And right now we're talking, we had our first reading with some of the initial recommendations, I guess Wednesday earlier this week. The second one would be scheduled for Monday of next week, so I'd encourage NCSG members to join that call, participate in that call. And then we're expecting to issue the initial report on Work Track 5 late November, I think. Keep in mind this is sort of ICANN time, slipping deadlines, approximations, but we're shooting for late November. And then that public comment on that would be open until probably early January. And also in that time period, we're going to be reviewing the public comment that we get back on work tracks 1 through 4 So we're not really done on that issue yet, so I'd like to encourage folks to still consider joining and staying active there, because now that people are busy writing their public comments, we're going to have to go through all those public comments and, you know, figure out what to do with them and how to change, supplement, et cetera, the initial report. And so that will also be going on in parallel. So we do have a lot of things going on that issue in that working group. It's a little bit of a monster working group with five different subgroups and now also the sort of supplemental issues. So if anyone else has any questions on that or comments, I'm more than happy to talk here or offline. Thanks.
Thanks, Robin. Yeah, I think it's quite important to ensure how the input in the public comments will be taken in consideration. I know that the working group already extended the public comments. It was the beginning and they extended, and that showed that willingness to get input to answer some question, because there was not just recommendation. But I'm wondering how that will be covered. And also I recall that there was a proposal to have kind of designated liaison represented by stakeholder group or constituency when it comes to represent position. Do you know how it's going in that front?
Yeah, I think the plan is to move forward with that. It's just moving at ICANN's pace, which is, you know, sort of a glacial speed. So I do expect there will be liaisons from groups just to help clarify what groupings are on certain issues from time to time. It isn't changing the consensus model in any way, but it's just really kind of an aid to the working group chairs and the co-leaders to be able to get a sense for where a constituency or a stakeholder group might lie on a particular issue and not have to sort of pick and choose between differing views within that stakeholder group or constituency. But I expect that's going forward just slowly. There's a lot of things happening in that working group right now.
Okay. Thanks, Robin. Okay, that's for the subsequent procedure. Any question, comment? I know it was already too long, guys, the call. Just less than 5 left, or maybe less. Okay. That was for the subsequent procedure. RDS is in the... I don't think there is any update, but maybe more coming for Barcelona meeting with regard to the future of that working group. And I can't say there is no future, likely. What is this, the RPM? Okay, so Kathy left already, but... And I thought that, Martin, you already gave some update. Do you want to add more for RPM? Okay, yeah, please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me? Guys? Yeah, good. No, it's just that if someone else has any further questions of what I said, the main, I can summarize saying that we are discussing the final draft of recommendations to change the URS, the Uniform Rapid Suspension. Before going to the final draft, we're going to have a public comment round on this draft, and we are sort of trying to achieve consensus of what to put on this draft that will be going to the public comment. It's sort of weird because even when consensus is not reached, then the excuse to go to public comment is that there's no consensus. So it's not clear exactly what is the consensus process to go to public comment. When you don't agree with them, they just say, this is not the final draft, this is for the public comment. So, weird. Sorry. Just that.
Okay. Thanks, Martin. I don't see any question or comment, and we have more people leaving the call, so I think it will be a good time to wrap up quickly. So I think that we really, I think we didn't miss, we didn't leave any working group or review team, and we covered them all. So if there is no any other topic that to be discussed, I would suggest that we adjourn the call for today. I want to thank everyone for staying for more than 90 minutes. And I'm sorry again about the issue we had with unmuted participants. So we will follow up with that, and hopefully we can avoid this in the future. So thanks, everyone, and see you soon. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the meeting. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.